Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Relent starts with repent. God doesn't relent until you get your heart, but he causes a repent. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Interesting message tonight. Go on, lift your hands to heaven. Yes. Papa, we need glory. We need glory, Papa. We need more of you so there can be less of us. And we can't do it without you. So release the new wine. New wine, which brings more power. Bring new wine. Bring freedom. Bring the fire. Bring the glory. And bring you. Because fire is power. Without fire, we got no power. Without any oil, you can't fuel the power. So we ask for oil. And how do we get oil? We worship. We praise, we sow in the Spirit for oil. So oil us up, Lord. Oil us up. We welcome oil and fire tonight in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. See, some of your frustrations is just that groaning and don't realize it. Do you ever get to a point where you're like, I'm so tired of this? I'm sick and tired. I just want to, you know, I'm just. That's groaning. Did you ever hate yourself? Daily, come on, don't be shy now. God, I hate what I do. That's groaning. Why? Because you want to change. You wouldn't hate something about you if you didn't want to change. That's groaning. So when somebody asks you how you're doing, just tell them, I'm groaning. Don't be a groaner, just be groaning. Amen. Don't be a moaner, be a groaner. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be what? Well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad or stupid. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we all are what? Well known to God, and also trust are well known in your conscience. What is this talking about? God is preparing us for immortality. Does everybody understand that? He is preparing us for immortality. Sometimes we don't even realize that. He's preparing us to get loose from mortality into immortality. And that's what we, you know, those are the things, you can't see it, but our hope is not what we see. Our hope is in what we don't see. immortality is something that you can't see, but it can become a reality to you. When it becomes a reality, it's connected to faith. That means now you have hope in what? Change. You know, you're not going to stuck in this place and groan the rest of your life. You're going to take off. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Preparing for immortality. God, prepare for immortality. He's preparing us. Luke 23:32. There were also two other criminals led with Jesus to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saves others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And the inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Man, were they ticked off. Let me tell you, three languages over him, they were prophetically releasing that he was the King of the Jews, although all the Pharisees and Sadducees were ticked off big time. They didn't want that sign up there, whether it was mocking him or not. It was a reality statement. He is the King of the Jews, and he's also the King of all humanity. Amen? Verse 39, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justify justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man has done nothing wrong. So he was standing up for Jesus. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What was he saying? Man, cut me loose from morality, mortality into what? Immortality. Remember me. Bring me with you. And Jesus said to him, Surely I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. What a blessing. Now, paradise is a representation of multiple things, but the one thing is heaven. Amen? Heaven. Paradise, heavenly bound with what? Immortality. You know, when you get like ill, sick, the flu or whatever, sometimes you're miserable. You feel miserable, but you don't let your feelings dictate. Amen? You're groaning. Again, when you're like that, go in your closet until you die. Until you come to the end of yourself, right? But don't spew over other people. Just do your groan. Sometimes you got to go groan in private. So the Lord says, you know, go in your closet, shut the door, and go to your father. And go groan to him. Praise God. Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, This man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran over and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. And the rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earthquake and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened. And many of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. You got to remember, Jesus was in the depths for how many days? Three. So, the graves were open, amen. The saints were seen. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, so they didn't just come up when he went down. They came up after he rose from the dead. So, these people in the world around them, of course it wasn't television, so the world couldn't see it, saw saints be resurrected that were still dead. They were still dead. They saw bodies. They saw the graves open for 3 days. Isn't that what the two witnesses are going to do when they come? They're going to be killed, and for what, 3 days they'll be laying out there. Same thing happened. These were saints that were passed away while Jesus' ministry. These were not patriarchs. These were saints. Why? Because God wanted people to know who they were recently during his ministry so that they would recognize them. So people were still alive of their families and things to that degree. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to what? Many. Now, they didn't receive immortality, but they were raised from the dead. So that means they had to die again. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Jose, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. So again, here we see resurrection from the dead. Amen. God rose them from the dead. They were dead. Some of them, remember, Jesus' ministry was 3 years to 3.5 years. So some of them died in the first year of his ministry. That followed him. Some of them were killed. Some of them were crucified. Some of them were ill and sick and died. But he rose them up. Why? He gave them an opportunity to be signs and wonders to the world so that the world, come on, if your grandmother, your friend rose from the, came out of their grave, come on, after they've been buried 3 years, hey, what's going on? Man, where you been for 3 years? Dead. Buried. The Lord rose me from the dead. I got something to tell you, though. I mean, that person be going, poof. What a sign and wonder. That's why the rapture is going to be the final sign and wonder. Because we who are alive will change. They'll be taken up. And those who are in the grave will be raised. They'll see whatever they've been cremated, it don't matter. God knows where all your little ashes are. He can gather all those little ashes and remold them. Boop. A lot of these religious people, oh, man, you can't be cremated. Sure, just take up more land with a dead body. That don't mean a poop. And then people go visit graves. Nobody's there. You're saying hello to a stone. Why go and visit my so-and-so every Sunday? Well, you're an idiot. Well, that's disrespect. No, that's wisdom from above. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits where? And that was not Orange County Prison. That was not any prison locally. These were not prisons of the physical. This was Hades. He went into the depths of hell and preached to those who had been taken. They were disobedient. They were taken by the devil. He gave them an opportunity. Now look at verse 20. He explains it. Who were formerly what? Disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah. Man, he went. So these were people that way back, even Noah's time. Now you got to remember, the offsprings of the Nephilim were not in hell. Does everybody get it? Their bodies were killed, but their spirits roamed the earth. Hello. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water. But those that were not Nephilims, that were eaten by Nephilims, or giants, or decided to turn a wicked way, they were in hell. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. He went to preach to the prisons in Hades, what we call hell or Sheol, which is not a very nice place. The rooms are terrible. The service is no good. And the food stinks. Hallelujah. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared presumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named what? Lazarus. Full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. But being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger into water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that your lifetime you received your good things, but Lazarus received evil, but Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are now in torment. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Well, one did come from the dead. In fact, many came from the dead in that area, didn't they, when they rose from the dead, when Jesus rose them from the dead. And he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rise from the dead. Wow. The rich man and poor man, examples of immortality. One will burn forever, and one will be blessed forever. Revelation chapter 1, in verse 9, please. What's Revelation bring? Revolution! Let's speak it. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as if of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in the book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest of a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of what? Hades and what? Death, because he went down and took them. He defeated the powers of darkness. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. The keys of Hades and death. So he had the keys of hell and death. Amen? Why? For immortality. Who had the keys before him? Satan. I think Jesus slapped the hell out of him, but he didn't release heaven. He picked up the keys. I think it took him 3 days to get out of it after he got hit by Jesus. Ephesians 4, verse 7, please. But each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. In other words, what did he do? He went to the prisons and released them, didn't he? And gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth, Hades? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the anointing, that we should no longer be children, immature, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine of the enemy, by trickery of men, and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the world or the Gentiles, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Love it. But what does it mean? He first, what, descended, then he, what, ascended. Amen? In Matthew 7, verse 13, please. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is a way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, because they thought relationship was by works. By works, not by personal. Amen? Hallelujah. But again, they lost immortality, didn't they? The narrow path is difficult. Psalm 116, starting at verse 1. Here the psalmist brings thanksgiving to God for deliverance from the death, or dead. Let's speak it. Verse 1, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol, or hell, laid hold of me. Found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from failing. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Well, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the what? Death of his saints. Why? So you and I can have immortality. Amen? Death of the saints in the sight of the Lord. Denial of self. Romans 7, verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Sounds like he's groaning. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. In other words, where does it dwell? In your flesh, the presence of evil. Hallelujah. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Help! Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in the law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, worn against the law of my mind, my thoughts, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the Lord, the law of the God, but with the flesh the law of what? Sin. 1 Corinthians 15. So sin dwells in your flesh. You're not only battling outside, but you're battling inside. So when somebody asks you how you're doing, instead of telling them miserable, just tell them you're groaning. And while you're groaning, you're growing. Grown up. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that it shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from the other star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and after the spiritual. The first man was the earth made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And also, as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also what? Bear the image of the what? Heavenly man. I love it. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. This is the final witness. It's called the rapture. Now for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on what? Immortality. So God is preparing us for immortality. Amen? So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brother, be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So know that sin dwells in our flesh, that's why it must be crucified every day. It's trying to prevent us from changing. It's trying to keep us in a state of carnal, fleshly, mortal, not preparing us for immortality. It resists it. Why? Because when that moment comes, they're history. Amen? And we are changed. And we have taken the mortal body and we've turned over into an eternal and immortal body. The powers of darkness don't want us to reach that event. I'm going to close it, Romans 8. Yeah. Aren't you happy? God is preparing you for immortality. That's why it's a good day to die. But I got things to do. I want to raise a family. I want to do all kinds of stuff. Don't worry about it. You got plenty of time. Forever. Oh, hallelujah. Time is running out for everyone. Time is short. You know, we just, our focus and function now is to be a sign and wonder to the world. That's why we're being raised up. Why? To help people reach the place of immortality. Amen? Romans 8:18, let's speak it. What does it say? For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, us. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation does what? Groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. You know, you can't interpret your own groaning sometimes. And you can't interpret somebody else's groaning. You just know they're groaning. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first fruit among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, what? These he also what? Called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also has what? Glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Don't lose sight of this. God is preparing us for immortality. Everyone say, I'm eternal. I'm dead. I live forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Taken out of darkness into glorious light. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. That's what was imparted in us tonight through the seed of righteousness. Maintain and be protected so that we may be reminded by the Spirit of God. Let it take place in our memory of our mind. And let its light continuously shine in that area and remove any contamination. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen.